From APM in New York, I'm Ben Johnson, exploring the latest on how technology is changing our lives and our society. Today, Apple will give investors a peek at its latest profit report. The company is expected to beat expectations, maybe to the tune of $51 billion or more. A lot of those billions come straight from its trusty product, the iPhone. Also, straight from China. But China's economy hasn't been super stable of late. Will that impact Apple's news? Gigi Duban reports.
There was a time in China when if you loved someone, you'd save up for months to buy this person an iPhone. It was the ultimate gesture and the ultimate status symbol. And all Apple had to do was be Apple. Not anymore.
Basically, the easy money days are over.
That's Minyuan Zhao. She teaches global strategy at the Wharton School. One reason is that as more people have iPhones in China, it becomes less desirable. Plus, even though people there still have plenty of buying power, she says Apple needs to step up its game. Patrick Moorhead, a tech industry analyst, says China's economic slowdown might hit Apple's earnings.
The thing to balance against is that Apple is still growing in China.
So that even if urban areas in eastern China are slowly getting over their luxury brand craze, there are plenty of regions where the iPhone is still a rare gem. I'm Gigi Duban for Marketplace.
Apple's device sales across the Pacific may be slowing a bit, but you know what? Business seems to be at a nice clip. Online security. Keith Alexander has a startup in this space called IronNet. It makes tools and software for companies to fight against hacking, and it just raised $32 million in venture capital. Other companies are raising hundreds of millions, but Alexander might have a leg up thanks to his old job as General Keith Alexander, head of the National Security Agency. Here's the Wall Street Journal's Danny Yadrin.
They're trying to be a sort of mad scientist technology company. And, you know, the selling point is, you know, this was developed by a bunch of ex-NSA people. And you're either going to be the type of corporate customer that's intrigued by that or you're not.
Mad scientists who came from the NSA making products. Yadrin says it's one of those things that as a company or customer, you're either really into or really not. Long before the Tesla S got a top rating from Consumer Reports and then got it stripped, General Motors made a car aimed at people interested in electric and hybrid vehicles. And the Chevy Volt did pretty well. Well enough that it's getting an updated version, cheaper, lighter, and with a further range on a charge. The 2016 Volt also has a lot of new competition in its car class. We got in touch with GM's chief electric vehicle engineer, Pam Fletcher, to learn more about the technology involved. Hello, Pam.
Hi, Ben. Great to chat with you today.
So you once worked on the technology for Dale Earnhardt Sr.'s NASCAR team. What's it like to build electric and hybrid vehicles inside this company?
Well, what I would say is there's a lot more similarities to the racing environment. You've got to be efficient, right? You've got to finish. And so we have to be very careful on how we use every ounce of energy on board the car. And you have to be able to start on time. And so delivering cars quickly to our customers is absolutely, you know, a laser focus that we have.
We've seen the electric car market grow a ton. What's new in the 2016 Volt, and how are you thinking about the competition at this stage in the game?
Well, first, what's new is everything. The recipe that we built ultimately was to take the things our customers love and make them better, give them more. So 40% more electric range, even faster acceleration, adding to that fun-to-drive feeling that they tell us so often is the thing they love most about their car.
Who do you see as the competition, really, for these vehicles?
Coming from what I'll call conventionally powered vehicles, we see people coming from hybrids, and we see some people coming from electric.
You're a chief engineer. How does the process work when we're talking about the computerized parts of our vehicles and what kind of software runs on the vehicle?
Yeah, you know, Ben, I would certainly not claim to understand how other automakers besides, you know, GM manage their processes.
Sure. So tell me about how it works at GM.
Cars today have many, many electronic modules on them, right? Many of those modules, we write the software and create the logic for how it works ourselves. And then we have some that we purchase with, you know, some of our supplier partners.
Are we all going to be driving electric vehicles in 20 years?
Now, if I knew the answer to that, we'd probably be having a different conversation. But, you know, what I would tell you is I think there's going to continue to be a multitude of choices because I think electrification is at its infancy. I think we're going to see new and interesting ways to use it for mobility here going forward. But certainly our successes with the traditional car and electrifying it, I think, are really giving, frankly, that's a great leg up on, you know, the future of mobility where electrification will play a big part.
Pam Fletcher, she's the chief engineer for electric vehicles at GM. Pam, thank you very much.
Thanks, Ben. Great to talk to you.
And a 15-year-old boy in Northern Ireland has been arrested in connection with the hacking attack of the UK broadband and wireless provider TalkTalk. The attack from last week sent the company's stock in a nosedive, but officials now say the impact was smaller than first thought. Maybe more proof that young, super smart hackers need projects and mentors. I'm Ben Johnson, and that's Tech. This is APM, American Public Media.